to the Weekend News Magazine, The Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud here. Well, you've been hearing the words a lot, a mass formation psychosis, and how do we rationalize these different universes that Americans live in? You know, the belief systems that are, well, almost cult-like driven in society. I always ask the question, hey, have we always been this way, or is this a new phenomenon that we're seeing? Dr. Robert Malone will be here, and we will dive into a lot of this discussion. He has been front and center in the fight on COVID, for sure. You see President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris come out to address the nation on the first anniversary of January 6th, the Capitol event. By comparing it to the bombing of Pearl Harbor in 1941 and the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, many Americans were outraged at that. Maybe this is their measure of uniting the nation, perhaps. I'm not sure. Lieutenant General Tom McInerney will be here. We'll take that on. And then we're seeing, you know, just the outer elements of this backlash and outrage that happened in Virginia. Why has it taken Americans, the parents, mom and dad, so long to see the racist writings on the wall from educators and react accordingly, right? Here's the question on this one. Is this the spark that will transform the 2022 midterm elections? Evangelist Alveda King will be here on that story.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Dr. Robert Malone joins us. Pleasure to have him on here. He's a physician and scientist licensed in Maryland. Currently serves as Chief Medical and Regulatory Officer of the Unity Project and President of the 16,000-strong International Association of Physicians and Scientists. He was the original inventor of the mRNA and DNA vaccine platform technology in the late 80s. You know that now. And for almost 40 years now, has been a leader in vaccine development and basic research in virology and immunology. So, Dr. Robert Malone, it's a pleasure to have you on Viewpoint This Sunday.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity and look forward to our conversation.
You've been put in the spotlight and have quickly become a central figure in the debate, really at the water cooler here, on COVID vaccines, the spike proteins, natural immunity, big pharma, and the bureaucrats that are determined to get a vaccine shot in every arm. And it's not just one shot, but it's multiples they seem to want. With all the media you've done, let's start here at 30,000 feet, Dr. Malone, and ask you, what is the most frequent question you've been asked in all these media appearances you've had to date?
Well, I'm always asked to establish my legitimacy and something about the story of the origin of RNA and DNA vaccination technology. Often people ask questions about the fact that I took the vaccine. That's a frequent query that comes through social media from time to time. I've probably answered that about 1,000 times. And then recently, because I spoke about Matthias Desmet's work concerning mass formation psychosis, that has become a hot topic.
Yeah, it sure has. Yeah. So, all right. What is the biggest aha moment that you yourself have discovered from media's curiosity with all of this and what you know is the truth? What's that spark, that big aha moment in there?
One of them was when I became aware of the Trusted News Initiative that's run by the BBC, because that helped explain the coordinated propaganda that's occurring globally that I was aware of, but I just couldn't make sense out of it. I couldn't understand how all of this could be coordinated in the way that it is. Another one was the kind of awareness with the fact-checking process, quote unquote, and how that works and how it's been manipulated and weaponized. Then there's been a gradual awareness of the fact that what we're dealing with is horizontal integration across big tech, major media, the pharmaceutical industry, and really governments globally. The role of the very large transnational investment funds like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, and that it is best to see, one can best understand this coordination among these industries when you realize that these companies like Pfizer are really not separate companies from others like Reuters, Thomson Reuters. They're all cross-linked at the level of boards of directors, et cetera, because they all operate really as divisions of one company, and the holding company, which is basically the intermixing of BlackRock and Vanguard in many cases, is really the corporate parent. They're really more like divisions. They're not separate entities. I'd say that kind of captures the, you know, I was already deeply aware of how messed up the U.S. HHS system was and the World Health Organization. This isn't my first rodeo, but the kind of dawning awareness of what's happened with media and tech and propaganda and integration across these industries through pharma was a new one to me. Me and my peers have never seen anything like this in prior outbreaks.
This, in what you explained right there, I think many people are not aware, this has become a game of dollars, of money, versus a game of healthcare. This is, your sense this is all being pushed forward? I mean, is a profit center, is that what this is all about?
The behavior, the actions, the concerted effort is much larger than just return on investment.
So that's a piece of it, but then you've got a bigger piece.
Precisely. Yeah, precisely. And you can see this, for instance, the purchasing of the various large media entities, kind of the legacy media in the United States that's occurred over the last decade, doesn't really make sense from a return on investment financial point of view. The purchase of the Washington Post by Amazon wasn't really about Bezos wanting more money and making more profit. It wasn't because the Washington Post is a profit center. It's because it is an information hub that can be exploited as part of the overall business model to advance their business and strategic interests. When I first heard about these things like the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum and those topic areas and their integration into this whole mess, I thought, this is just crazy talk. This is more conspiracy, and that can't possibly be true. And yet, as time has gone by, we see. For me, I'm data driven, so I'm interested in theories and the hypotheses for sure, but they have to be backed by data. But the information is out there. They're very transparent about it. And the role of the World Economic Forum and Gates and others in running these war games together with the U.S. government, in training public officials, you know, as young people like Justin Trudeau and Gavin Newsom and many others, and then cultivating them and working them up the political food chain. It's all there. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is fact.
Let's talk now about the vaccine itself here. The idea that a vaccine was going to save everybody's life, that was the concept initially when it was rolled out with the Operation Warp Speed back in the Trump administration, and then fast forward. What went wrong with all that? What is the real damage that these vaccines and boosters are doing to our immune systems?
Oh, good. So that'll take another 2 hours. I'm sorry for the sarcasm. So what was wrong with how it was done? This is one of the fundamental things that got me engaged in all of this and speaking out, was my sense of outrage about what had been done. There's standards and norms that have been developed over decades for how we develop regulated medical products. And they're enforced by international regulatory bodies as well as by the FDA. So there's standards for how one does this process to ensure safety, efficacy, purity, etc., reproducibility in any of these medical products, whether it's a pill or a vaccine. And I saw as a government insider that this process had just been circumvented on so many different levels. And furthermore, I saw, because I and my team were very focused on repurposing drugs, it was very clear to me that there was a concerted effort to block the development, publications, and empowerment of physicians to provide early treatment for SARS-CoV-2. That's a perplexing thing, because it meant that people's lives are being lost, and there's credible estimates that there's probably about 500,000 excess deaths in the United States because this became the policy of the government surreptitiously. But as I saw these things happening, and for instance, just to give a little bit of granularity, the person, the colonel who led Operation Warp Speed for the Moderna product was someone that I had mentored previously when I was leading the charge on the Ebola vaccine development that eventually became the Merck Ebola vaccine, together with the Department of Defense. And he had been in touch with me during this and shared what was really going on in this committee of bureaucrats that made the decisions, for instance, about how the Moderna dose selection was made. And it was basically a split the difference. We call it a swag. We can translate that. I don't know about the restrictions in your. So we'll just say a scientific guess. As I learned these things, and then I saw the dossier, the common technical document that was obtained from the Japanese government. Usually, these aren't made available. They're considered confidential regulatory documents. But the Japanese released the document from Pfizer. And I was asked to review it, and what I saw was gross mismanagement in the regulatory bodies worldwide allowing Pfizer to proceed with human dosing mm-hmm. of these vaccines under emergency use authorization without sufficient prior testing in a way that was completely non-compliant with the standards that have been developed for decades. So it was this kind of cascade of both mismanagement, bureaucratic decision-making, corner-cutting, et cetera, and my awareness of the technology being used and its inherent risks, and my knowledge of the inherent risks associated with expression of high levels, relatively high levels of the viral spike protein that caused me to speak out about this. The normal processes and rules that I'd been brought up on and rigorously trained on, I take no satisfaction in the fact that my concerns have been validated over time.
There's a lot of these people that are vaccinated. In fact, those are the people that are getting the Omicron right now. Is that correct? Are the vaccinated?
And what I'm hearing, correct, and what I'm hearing anecdotally, so there is an odd bias mm-hmm. towards the vaccinated having getting infected with Omicron compared to the unvaccinated. And in that, when we talk about the unvaccinated, we have to be careful, because increasingly those people who have not been vaccinated have been infected at some point. So they have natural immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're probably mostly comparing between is the infectivity of Omicron in those that have received the vaccine versus those that have natural immunity. But whatever it is,
yeah,
I keep hearing again and again, and apparently the data coming in from Great Britain is consistent with this also, that the vaccinated are coming down with Omicron faster and harder than those that have not been vaccinated, which is really worrisome to me yeah. because all along I've been warning about vaccine-enhanced disease and infectivity, of which antibody-dependent enhancement is one form. I'd like to loop back to something else that you said a moment ago. You mentioned denial of of what's going on. There, it's more than denial. There's active suppression of information about the risks of the vaccine. That is explicitly what the Trusted News Initiative is doing. And by extension, because they're all part of it, all of big tech and the major media, they are intentionally, by design, by intention, restricting the availability of information to your audience to allow them to make informed decisions about whether or not to take the vaccine. And the way they rationalize it is, whether the information is true or not, it will cause vaccine hesitancy, and therefore it must be suppressed. The other thing they do is that they write these nonsensical attack pieces. They call them fact checkers. But what they do again and again and again is they set up a straw man argument and then they refute it. They don't actually address what the issue is. They play tricks with information. And this business of propaganda and information manipulation, even about mass formation psychosis, is contributing to the mass formation psychosis. Everybody, and not to mention that I like to call it fear porn, this constant subjecting of the population to fear messages to drive their anxiety is exactly what the preconditions are for mass formation psychosis.
Yeah, and it's happening. Let's talk about that right now. I've seen a couple of pieces that were just given to me this morning. In fact, Dr. Robert Malone's assertions about mass formation psychosis as the context of the COVID-19 pandemic are underscored by the fact that authorities in the UK admitted to using totalitarian methods of mind control to instill fear in the population. That was one piece. And in Canada, the military also admitted launching a psychological operations campaign against their own people in order to manipulate them into compliance with COVID-19 restrictions and mandates. We are seeing that across the board. And with stories like this and points of reference like this, there's a mind control happening in all of this. And we see it, Dr. Malone. We see people out there driving in their cars with masks on. We see them running, biking, and exercising with masks on. Nobody's in their universe. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. But this is also virtue signaling. This is saying that we're part of this group, this mass.
That's it.
And we're demonstrating it through taking the jab and through wearing masks. I'd like to quote from an article recently out by my good friends at Reuters on January 7th. Here's the title. Fact check. No evidence of pandemic mass formation psychosis, says, quote, experts speaking to Reuters. And here's the lead. Mass formation psychosis, quote, is not an academic term recognized in the field of psychology, nor is there evidence of any such phenomena occurring during the COVID-19 pandemic. Multiple experts in crowd psychology have told Reuters. And then if you turn right around, this is not my theory. I've been attacked as if this is my theory. I'm learning from an academic psychologist named Matthias Desmet, who is actively involved and has been for years at Ghent University in crowd psychology and the science and psychology of mass formation. There are multiple books about it. It is a very active field of investigation and has been since basically the 19th century. So saying that this is typical of Reuters. They just lie. It doesn't matter. They will find someone somewhere to support whatever the narrative is that they want. And then they'll put this out as truth. And it takes about 30 seconds for anybody using DuckDuckGo to refute that. It's fascinating. Matthias and I were on a podcast a couple of days ago, actually with your good friend, Peter McCullough. So we were talking about this because the Google manipulation of search results had been revealed regarding the mass formation was one of the top search terms last weekend. And as this was developing, Google was manually modifying its search result hits and changing the ranking so that anything having to do with me or Matthias was virtually unavailable.
Yeah, I seen that as well. Google. I went and searched for it. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to use DuckDuckGo or one of the other search engines, because and what it shows is how active Google has been in crafting, basically inserting information into our minds. This is not crazy talk. You can see it happening. They are actively manipulating the information that people get when they do searches, just the same as Wikipedia actively edits things to support their agenda.
Yeah, well, this is clearly 1984 on steroids here, and it's happening, and we're seeing it here in real time.
The whole Google, of course, you're referring to George Orwell.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, but you look at the Google phenomenon and all the social media, and you do begin to ask yourself, you know, I tell listeners all the time, Dr. Malone, and they hear this from me always, the big story to come out of this era isn't really going to be the election, probably won't be the pandemic. It'll be where the hell was the media in the United States on any of these stories?
That statement you just made assumes that there is an independent media like existed when we were kids. And that's gone. The media is all owned by the same people that own Pfizer. First aha that I had was the first time Reuters fact-checked me and I responded, and it was not fair or equitable. It wasn't about the facts. And that became clear to me. I started looking around and I saw that the chairman of the board of Thomson Reuters is also on the board of directors of Pfizer. And that posted that on LinkedIn and asked the rhetorical question, does this look like a conflict of interest? That then triggered LinkedIn to kick me off the platform the first time. That was the inciting event. The statement you just made, where the hell was the media? The media was actively engaged in creating the mass formation.
Yeah.
You noticed that there's three vaccines licensed in the United States.
Okay.
Two of them are mRNA. One of them is a related genetic vaccine technology, adenovirus vectors. The CDC has said, oh, don't use the adenovirus vectors now. They're too toxic and they kill people. The rest of the world has access to, I think it's 8 licensed vaccines by the WHO. But Tony Fauci really doesn't want any of those vaccines here in the United States. He said so. He said, we have the best vaccines here and we don't need any others.
Let's talk about the psychological damage of this pandemic. What is the greatest impact on society right now? That, I mean, with all of this we're talking about, I mean, people are wondering right now, Dr. Malone, if life will ever get back to normal. Of course, they reference a new normal, and maybe that's the whole catch of this conversation we're having, this new normal. I don't know. But what are the long-term lasting effects of this, and what do you see just ahead here?
So the biggest one, I work for this group called the Unity Project, which is focused on stopping the mandates in children. And you can find that at www.unityprojectonline.com. The big damage is to our children. That is going to persist for generations. And it's not just the vaccine damage and the myocarditis and pericarditis and the immunologic damage and the brain damage and the potential reproductive damage. It's the psychological damage, as you point out, and it is profound. There's academic studies showing a 20-point drop in IQ in the very young that have been through this process. They are observing developmental delays in things like speech and language recognition. There's even a paper out there that talks about physical changes due to the mask use. Children have had, it's hard to say this without really truly crying, even as an adult man, if you have any empathy at all. The incidence of childhood suicide has gone through the roof worldwide. We have created a situation. Remember, children have to see faces. They have to see lips. It's not just the audio part. They have to see faces of other people because their brains are developing really fast in young children. And the brain changes based on the environmental stimuli that it receives. These children are put in situations where they're constantly bombarded by fear. Dr. Mark McDonald has done some really great essays on this, and there's a video with him and Kirk Mulhound that's on the Unity Project website that I absolutely recommend people listen to. But what Mark documents is in his clinical practice in LA, there's a huge surge in drug abuse, suicide, psychological damage, chronic fear and anxiety, children believing that somehow they have responsibility if their parents get infected because of the messaging that has been put out, children that are afraid to go anywhere without a mask on because they're going to not only get infected themselves and potentially die, but they could cause their parents or grandparents to die if they do get infected because they haven't used proper mask technique. And remember, the data are quite clear. The effect of mask on prevention of infection and spread is at best about 10% of an effect. And in many studies, there's no measurable effect at all. It is security theater. The virus is a really small particle. And so it's just this, right. This, the studies are clear that mask use doesn't do anything, but what it does do is it blocks the ability of children as well as adults to see facial expressions on other persons and to see their lips and learn from that interaction, which affects their brains, which are very plastic. So, and then we have the insertion of the state into this family relationship. The state's demanding that children have certain behaviors, accept these masks, have behaviors in the playground, in the schoolyard. What I did a fantastic interview with my wife, Dr. Jill Glasspool Malone, on Maui, where we interviewed a group of Hawaiian children that are not vaccinated about what their experiences are. And what they spoke about was extensive bullying, not just schoolyard bullying, but also from their teachers. Teachers asking who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated. And the unvaccinated were put in the back of the room and the vaccinated are considered to be their star pupils. All of this kind of messaging, which teachers have no right to know anything about the medical history of their students. That's you know, in the normal world, we have these boundaries about ethics and medical information, and we've completely disregarded. The government is lawless. They are no longer feeling constrained by the law and past precedent. Justify all this on the basis of this being an extreme risk population when it's not.
What you've learned from this is amazing, first of all, Dr. Malone, and the way you share the information is, I think, very appreciated. I think listeners hear you and they appreciate the truth that they're hearing, which I know it is from your heart. Do you have any hope for the future at this point in the next many years? Do we get to a point soon where this thing begins to get behind us? Or is this the beginning of the end?
I asked Matthias about this. He said, we're so deep into the mass formation globally that it's taken root and it's going to take a while to move through this. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to Peter and I and said, basically, you must continue to dissent, even though you're going to be attacked. You could even be physically attacked. Potentially, we're at risk of our lives because of all the crazy that's going on. But we must continue to speak out because otherwise the mass formation will go deeper and the culture will become even more decoupled from reality.
Yeah,
now, perhaps. To try to end on a positive note, which I always try to do, I really try to convey to people that they need to have an open heart, not be angry and attacking the other side. That is totally counterproductive. You have to have an open heart, share information with them, do it in a gentle way. Don't fight with them. It'll only trigger them to become violent. We have to do this, and I suggest that the three things that we need to get out of this, we need to focus on, is we need to restore integrity in our corporations, in our personal interactions, in our government institutions. You know, this business of lying, whether it's noble or not, is just not okay. So we must have integrity. We must restore human dignity, the appreciation of the importance of the individual, and don't allow these large funds and their corporate arms to treat us as mere economic units from whence to be extracted profit and rent. So restore human dignity wherever you are in society. I don't care what your role is. I used to be a carpenter and a farmhand. Now I'm a physician and a scientist, very different status relationships, but I'm still that same person. And so is everybody else around us. Let's treat each other with dignity. The third key word is community. The whole core of why the mass formation was able to gain hold, the reason why the media was able to manipulate us in this way and cause us to become obsessed about this virus, the reason why that was all possible is because we've lost our connectedness with each other. And there's many measures that Matthias cites, academic research. You can find this on the very nice Zero Hedge summary of mass formation psychosis, the citations. It's all because we have become so fragmented as a society. We have to rebuild our relationships and community with each other. And that's how we get out of this, is restore integrity, restore dignity, and restore community.
Dr. Robert Malone, and you know what he outlines right there is so appreciated to leave folks with a grasp of the reality, but also the promise of tomorrow, my fellow Americans. Wow. You know, there's so much to what we just talked about with Dr. Malone and so much more to build on. But you've discovered several things as you begin to connect the dots yourself into this story. And, you know, his reference to the global reset and the New World Order and all of that, I so appreciate it, because I also was in the same camp of Dr. Malone, not really buying into those theories. But, you know, at some point, my fellow Americans, we have to address the reality of the facts, the data, the truth that stands in front of us and act accordingly. There's a lot to do, as he outlines, in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead here to preserve our future generations. We're at a really strange moment in the world. There's no doubt about that. Up next here, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney will join us. Always love to have General McInerney on. And then, of course, Elvita King will be on with us a bit after here. Stay right there, my fellow Americans. We'll return with you in just a moment as Viewpoint rolls up.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Liberty and the pursuit of 2022 is upon us. Happy New Year, my fellow Americans. Eleanor Roosevelt says the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. May you realize your dreams in the new year, we trust. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Welcome back to Viewpoint This Sunday. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, yours truly, and wow, what a conversation there with Dr. Robert Malone. You know, he has a really unique way of looking at the conversation, doesn't he now? And I so appreciated his contributions, and what he's doing out there is remarkable. Now, there's a lot more Viewpoint to get to right next here. We'll have a little bit later in the program here, Elvita King, evangelist Elvita King, that is, and just looking forward to reconnecting with her. It's been a while. But up next here, I want to join in here with our dear friend, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney is here, and He is a retired United States Air Force Lieutenant General, and he has been at the forefront of many of these political developments and surely what's happened throughout the election cycle and all of that. January 6th anniversary, 1 year into this momentous event that took place. Now, what was remarkable is a lot of people, Americans were shocked when the Vice President Harris and the President Biden came out and their remarks about the first anniversary of the Capitol event, and they compared it to the bombing of Pearl Harbor in 1941 and the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Remarkable information there. What do you make of those comments from the January 6th as a military officer? What does that mean to you, sir?
Well, it tells me that the number one and two people in our government today do not understand what's going on, but they do, and they're using it for tactical deception. Now, Malcolm, the important thing is Pearl Harbor started World War II, the largest war in the history of mankind. The 9/11 attack on New York City and the Pentagon started a 20-year war in the Middle East with the United States against radical Islam. How could anybody compare the situation that a protest that went wrong in the Capitol that was instigated and helped by government sources such as the FBI, et cetera, and other democratic elements? And frankly, the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and the leader in the House, Chuck Schumer, who are responsible for security, deliberately did not put in the National Guard and different assets that they should have done. So the whole 6 January 2020 event that the Democrats are trying to make a big thing along with other mainstream media elements that are going along this road. And why? What are they trying to have tactical deception on, I think? They want us to dwell and go down and point out, for instance, that not one of the 700 people arrested have been charged with insurrection, yet they're calling it an insurrection. But I'm not going to go there, Malcolm. I'm going to say the last thing they want us to talk about is the 2020 election, the big steal, and why, if O'Biden, as I call this administration, why the O'Biden administration is not bragging about the 80 million votes, the most votes of any president in history. And he spent most of his time in the basement. And why aren't they trying to get bragging rights and have deliberately request audits in all 50 states? Said what they are doing is on the 6 battleground states, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. They have got hundreds of lawyers to stop any audits. So that's one of the things that they're trying to do by using the 6th January event as, quote, an insurrection. And number two, of course, is they're trying to disguise and hide the fact that COVID-19 was a deliberate biological attack by the Chinese on the world, and that we've had two biological attacks. The other is the fentanyl and other drugs that are being shipped from China into Mexico and then into the United States. We had 100,000 deaths due to drugs, plus we had 830 plus thousand due to COVID-19. Now, these were just not accidents, natural events. That's what they're trying to hide. And the control with mandatory vaccinations, Columbia put out a report a week or so ago that I haven't been able to verify, but there are 400,000 people, Malcolm, that have died from taking the vaccinations. That's from taking the vaccinations. That's not from COVID. That is from the vax. And I think that Dr. Malone probably talked about that and the danger. They're also trying to cover up Afghanistan. Afghanistan was a deliberate surrender. It was not a withdrawal in the military terms. $85 billion worth of equipment we gave to the Taliban after a 20-year war over there. And the 3,000 plus deaths that we had there, let alone the total of 7,000 plus with Iraq and the global war on terror. So that's what they're trying to cover up. They're also trying to cover up the defund the police and the open borders. 16 largest cities in the United States under democratic rule have had more murders than at any time in our history. Those are not accidents. The open borders, we've got 20 to 30% of the 1.2 million illegal immigrants that have had COVID, and we're letting them in. We're just coming in, yet we have mandatory vaccinations. So these are the challenges that we are facing. And it's extremely important that people understand what 6 January 21 is about. It's a cover story for all the other things that they have done and put the United States in a position where we are extremely vulnerable internationally. And now they're trying to have a change the voting rules from the states to a federal rule and have no voter registration. Good God, you need to get on an airplane, you need a voter ID. To do anything, to cash a check, you need voter ID. And they want, you need ID, not voter ID. And yet they want to get rid of voter ID. So that is their plan. That's how they won the last election, through a whole host of corrupt means, in addition to the cyber warfare that the Chinese Communist Party did on those six battleground states. That's the cover-up and the rationale for 6 January 2021.
Yeah. Interesting perspective. You know, General McNamara, you know what I was thinking going through my mind as you were finishing the comments there? It's almost like if I was in a room listening to you and this was your, it's almost like the State of the Union speech you just gave, seriously, sincerely, in a very, with brevity, but here it is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and here's where we're at, the State of the Union. It pretty well should send shivers down anybody's spine that is hearing some of the comments and remarks that you're making, what we would call connect the dots. So we look at where we're at as a country here, General McInerney, and we look at, again, the what's happened with our military and foreign policy is insane right now. And you tip on Afghanistan there, but we see what's going on right now. And you and I haven't had a chance to talk, but we will just ahead regarding China, Taiwan, and the Ukraine with Russia. All of this plays into world events, of course. Feels like the world is off tilt. It's something has pushed it off here. What is your sense of all of this in regards to foreign policy? And, you know, we're in a midterm election year, General. So right now, everything's going to matter between now and November. How do you size this up this year? What do we have to, and I'm almost really afraid to ask, what do we have to look forward to, sir?
I forgot to mention hyperinflation, Malcolm.
Yeah.
My apologies. There's so many things coming at us right now that the American people are confused. But and what do I expect this company? I expect more of the same. I expect that the 2020 elections, which ought to be a shoo-in for the Republicans, is going to have still the same corruption. They'll either be canceled because a new virus comes out that is all of a sudden leashed after the Winter Olympics in China, and it so happens that it escapes from another fish market in Wuhan, the Wuhan virology lab, that didn't just accidentally escape. And the fact is, they're going to do it again, because I found out since the election on 3 November that in 2005, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Chinese military, People's Liberation Army, briefed the Chinese Communist Party leadership on their new doctrine. It's called unrestricted warfare. It includes massive biological attack to kill upwards of 1 to 2 million people, massive cyber warfare to control elections, et cetera. And that's what we're facing. And I believe the 2020 election is going to have the same fraudulent activity that they had in 2020. And so don't get comfortable, Republicans, because they're cheating. And until you do the audits on those six battleground states and really on the 50 states, which again If Biden won so successfully and by such a large margin, you would think that he would want bragging rights and demand an audit. Anytime someone says, well, they were perfect, then said, well, you ought to get demanding rights. Demand an audit so we can prove this to the world.
That's an interesting way to put it, General. Any administration that would have achieved that sort of mark and measure in our nation, historically, the most ever for that position, surely it would be on their mantra. It would be their bragging rights, for sure, that we have a mandate. That's called a mandate right there, if there ever was one, General, you know. So, listen, there's, I'll tell you what, you and I, we will connect up in the next week and dive much more into a lot of these things. It is always, you have such a unique perspective on things. General Tom McInerney, thank you for joining us on Viewpoint, General.
Thank you, Malcolm, and thank you for what you're doing for the American people, because the mainstream media is not doing it.
That's exactly it. So you hear there, friends, General Tom McInerney, always just a great voice, a patriot, very clearly. Evangelist Alveda King is here. Alveda is the executive director of Civil Rights for the Unborn with Priests for Life and founder of Alveda King Ministries. As you know, across our great country, she's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and certainly has a piece in history here. Alveda, first of all, welcome to Viewpoint this Sunday, and we're in a whole new year, 2022.
Malcolm, it's wonderful to join you, and you know how we have an opportunity to chat right before the interview. Interestingly enough, you talked about being in rocket ship mode, and I agree with that. The trajectory of what you're doing is marvelous. I have a relatively new song that I released not long ago called Your Way, Yahweh, and I'm singing with Kathy Lee Gifford, and I told the producer, wait a minute, I need to hear the 747 take off. So if you hear the song, it's on YouTube now, Your Way, Yahweh with Kathy Lee Gifford and Alveda King. And you hear almost the engines and the rockets and all that. And we're taking off for good, Malcolm. So I was very encouraged to hear all that you're doing.
I love it. And, you know, I will go listen to that. I seen your reference to that in an email. And now that I know you have you're a talented singer, I will definitely go listen, Alveda. I mean, come on.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. All right. Let's talk about your recent message, please, and critical race theory. This is Representative Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, the former governor, and Glenn Youngkin, who really was surprising and shocking that particular election. And you say in your message, let this be a wake-up call for the elites determined to undermine our nation's greatness by indoctrinating our children with a radical anti-American agenda. America's parents won't allow it. Here's what I want to ask you, Alveda. You know, this rejection that Virginia did of CRT and the propaganda machine, why do you think it's taken America's parents so long to see the racist writing on the wall with CRT?
Malcolm, what happened, and it's been going on in our country since the early 1900s, and we know that, World War II and all those times. Now, there's an agenda, and it's Marxist and it's socialist, and it couches itself as looking good for the people, and it divides people by skin color into separate races. And if you remember Darwin, the survival of the fittest and all of that, oh, that's one race that's more superior than others. Now, I would agree there is one race that's more superior than others. It's called the human race, regardless of skin color. That's very clear in the Bible, but science also proves that. So they slip this in and have people arguing over the skin color, which is simply ethnicity, not race. And they hide it. And then if you say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that. We're not going to divide and fight each other over skin color. Oh, you're a racist. And so let's teach CRT in school. Well, what you mean is you want to go back to evolution over creation. You want to go back to not calling each other brothers and sisters, but separate races. Now, that is racist because we are one human race. So I write and I propose, and I just finished 4 years of studying. Now, for my PhD, my dissertation asked the question, is there a critical race? I said, yes, it's called the human race. One more point. When God divided human beings, it was not by skin color. It was by language. And so the people followed with skin colors along the lines of the languages. So I say to everybody, yeah, let's wait a minute. No, you don't. Let's teach CRT. Let's say how it came into being. How it came to saying that one species, part of our one species, which is human, is more superior than another. That is racist. There is no superiority among human beings. We are one blood. That's in the Bible. And we are one human race. And science supports that truth.
Elvita, I pray that every American and every person on the planet, for that matter, could hear your message right there, speaking from experience. And I always applaud and love the way you say human race. And it just rings in my soul to a point it's hard to describe to you. I get so disturbed by this racism business. I never understood that argument. You and I have talked many times over the years about it.
Yes, we have.
But you put it in context so very well. That's why it's the message people need to hear. And I want to bridge forward something. I want to ask you, because I think you'll have a point to say on this. You know, okay. we were talking up front in the program today on Viewpoint, Elvita, with Dr. Robert Malone on mass formation psychosis, which is being referenced a lot right now all over the place because of what's happening with COVID and what's happening with this frenzy and people are fighting and division. And I mean, it's something like we've never seen in our life. And it's actually gotten to a worse point since you and I've talked last. So I ask you right now, from your perspective, what is behind all of this, in your opinion, of this mass formation psychosis of the way people are being, well, we talk about CRT indoctrination, they're being indoctrinated into all kinds of things when it comes to this pandemic. What's behind all this? What do you see?
We are looking at gender, for example. We are looking at economic provisions, who has money, who has not. We are dealing with the skin color issue. All of this comes into the same cauldron, so to speak. Human dignity is from the womb to the tomb. That includes the babies in the womb. Once we're born, we should be treated with dignity. When we become older, we don't want to be euthanized, all of that. It comes together into humanity. My uncle, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., did say, we must learn to live together as brothers, and I added sisters, or perish together as fools. Now, if someone, you know that song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother"?
That's it.
But we don't think of each other in that manner, and we begin to see what's different and why one group of us is better than the other group, no matter what the question is. And so human dignity will not kill a weak, innocent human in a womb. It would not take an 8-year-old child and begin to do surgery on the child because the child is trying to determine what he or she wants to be. And the problem is with those kind of surgeries, folks, you begin to do surgery on children, on minors and children like that, they change their mind later. Everything that was cut off won't grow back. I just have to remind people of that. So let's take a little time before rushing to pretend that we're being compassionate by taking the babies out of the womb or doing the transgender disfiguration. Human trafficking is another issue. So all of that. And you did not ask me this, but I'd like to take this and squeeze it in. I told people yesterday when I'm speaking now, there are people in my family who don't agree with me politically. And I understand that, but I don't fight with them. And the word is, don't fight each other, fight to live. And so all of this strife and dissension is just harmful.
Yeah. Well, back to your family, Elvita, we've lost the true measure of being an American, the fact that we're a nation of diversity. We were founded on that principle. It's what we celebrate here is a Judeo-Christian nation. And yet we seem to have lost track of that. And now we're at odds with each other. If you don't agree, they'll cancel you or woke you or destroy you or dox you or something.
Anything, fire you if you don't take a shot or if you do take a shot. Let's have an argument over it. You know, I'm at the America First Policy Institute now, and I have my own organization, Speak for Life. And I'm the chairman of the Center for the American Dream. I'm asking people to look again, define American Dream. What does that mean to you? What does it look like? And then we have to have human dignity there. We have to have civil rights from the womb to the tomb. And as we begin to embrace and study this, and that's why I'm so excited about the work you're doing and the information that you're getting out, not teaching people necessarily what to think, but how to think.
Amen.
Not feel, not emotions, not how I feel and I don't like you and all of this, but let's think and let's pray and let's love each other.
That is so important what you say there. Please, everybody, take that into your hearts, please, what Elvita shares with you right there. I mean, there's nothing really for me more profound than what she just shared with all of you right there. Let me ask you this now, Elvita. We're in a very pivotal year. Politics plays into everything, whether we like it or not. The midterms are this year, 2022. We know what happened in 2020 and that whole fiasco there. We just went through the sixth and, you know, what has transpired in our nation. We're at a very strange moment in our nation, for sure. This referencing into 2022, the midterms, and the way Virginia played out with CRT and the parents rising, what really struck me is the parents, I had not seen that before, where they really rise, said, well, we're not going to, I mean, that was stunning to me. So when we talk about parents or politicians, and you talk about the 2022 midterms, is that, do you feel that's going to be, I get a sense, this argument of parents or politicians, who's best to trust in charge of your kids, that could be a pivotal item in the midterms in 2022, couldn't it?
I like to say it this way, parents, what has happened in Virginia is excellent. Also, we have the Dobbs cases that we are looking at in the heartbeat bill and all of that. So parents, I think about the little girl who went home and said, am I evil because I'm white? And the mother said, what, why did you say that? What does that mean? That parent began to investigate and it started a movement. Parents, this is your day. Stand up and have your say. And I'm very excited about parents saying, wait a minute, the government doesn't say what's best for my children. I know what's best for my children. And we should listen to our children, hear what they need and what they want as well. And that is going on in America. And for me, really, that's part of the American dream.
Elvita, would you do me a big favor, a big honor, as I end the program here? Would you just take a quick moment and would you say a prayer to the nation for us?
Yes.
Would you be willing to do that?
I will do it now.
Okay, let me close the show first, and then I want them to hear your voice last. Okay.
Okay.
So here we go. Here, so my fellow Americans, what a program indeed. Here, a tremendous thank you to Dr. Robert Malone, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, and Evangelist Elvita King. Remember, it's time to get involved and get loud.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, and your judgment and your fierceness. They all come together. We ask that you continue to bless us according to Psalms 103. Lead us according to Psalms 23. Protect us according to Psalms 91. And as we move forward together in this great nation, let the American dream be found, heard, and answered in your heart. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.